You know why we're bringing Razor on, Z? We're settling the debate once and for all. Swiss Chalet or Saint Hubert?
Razor doesn't eat that kind of stuff.
He's a well-tuned and finely refined athlete. Is that what you're saying?
He's like a Greek god. He's like, you should see this guy walk up and down the beaches of Cancun. He's like, he's a weapon out there.
Hey, guys, you don't put 89 leaded fuel in a Ferrari. You put the high test in it, guys.
First of all, I will not sit here and let you claim that Swiss Chalet is 89 leaded fuel.
No way. No, no. Swiss Chalet in a landslide. I can't even believe that there's a debate.
Oh, there's a debate.
Swiss Chalet thoughts is not even close.
When you come back up to Canada, do you go to Swiss Chalet when you're back up here? Because Razor lives in the New England area, so he doesn't come up to Canada as often as he'd like. Do you still get Swiss Chalet?
Every other time, at least, yes. Swiss Chalet is going to get on the menu at some point. A little takeout, you know, right up to the window. Hammer it right out. It's beautiful. What a factory.
I remember in the 80s, my aunt and uncle lived up in Dryden. Okay, and they didn't have a Swiss Chalet up there, and my uncle absolutely loved Swiss Chalet, so whenever they'd come visit, it was like the first thing we all did as a family, go to Swiss Chalet.
And
it was like a totally...
Awesome. And I will have to say, the worst question from any restaurant, fast food, whatever, is fries or baked potato. Do you ever get that asked?
There's no debate at Swiss Chalet.
Who gets the baked potato? But wasn't there a baked potato at some time at Swiss Chalet? They used to have the baked potato
They
side?
Still do. They still do.
Who
you can
gets
get
the
it.
Baked potato?
Well, at Swiss Chalet, it's fries. At the Keg, I'd go baked potato. Right? Depends on what your main is.
With everything on it.
By the way, before we get into some hockey stuff, Razor, and Andrew Raycroft is our guest on Leadoff, are you glad you came on at 7:30 in the morning to have a restaurant discussion? Is that how you envision spending?
The good thing is I've been up for an hour already, so it's not a getting up. But yeah, I'm excited. I love Swiss Chalet talk. You know that.
All right. Well, next time you're around, if we're allowed to gather in groups again, we'll party it up and have some Dirty Bird, and it'll be
sounds good. And Ziggy, I'll have a salad.
They actually do have a lovely vegetarian burger at Swiss Chalet. They really do. It's actually not bad.
There you go. All right. Well, you've got your veggie burgers sprinkled all over the city at your different fast food and restaurant joints. You know, Razor, we're doing a big thing, kind of a May Madness bracket deal here, and the Raycroft for Rask trade has come up in the conversation, and my question for you is 14-15 years later, looking back on that, how do you feel, A, about it, and then B, your experience of playing in Toronto?
Sure. It's hard to imagine it's been that long ago. Holy smokes. Huh? Obviously, it's been something it's always kind of followed me, and I'm one of those few guys in the NHL that have had trades follow them around. There's a couple other, and it didn't work out for anyone really on my side. It was a good 2 years. I loved playing in Toronto the first year to set the franchise record wins and play 70 games and be the guy. It was very special to me, and I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of that. And it really hurt to miss the playoffs on a shootout on the last day. That was a big deal. It took a lot coming back from that. And then the second year I didn't play very well, and the team was not very good. And that was it. And then you flash forward 5, 6, 7 years and Tuukka's having the success he's having here in Boston. Then it's inevitable that, if Toronto had Tuukka, then we would have won the Stanley Cup in 2011. And, you know, obviously we can look back and, you know, I can look at it the other way, and I'm sure no one thinks about this, but I can look at it the other way and say, I would have, if I had been able to stay in Boston, I would have had Zdeno Chara and a defensive minded coach like Claude Julien to play behind for 10 years. And that's pretty good for a goaltender too. So you look at these trades and, you know, I'm always going to be linked to it. And it's funny now because I live a mile away from Tuukka here in Boston. I see him all the time and we can laugh about it, but it's, you know, I just wish it had went a lot better in Toronto than it did. And I wish for everyone in Toronto the last 15 years have gone better. It's like, that's the other thing too, is I didn't leave. And then all of a sudden they went on, you know, an 8-year run where they went to the finals every year. So it's, you know, it can be frustrating at times for me, but I know at the end of the day, I didn't do enough to be the guy in Toronto, and that I'll have to live with that forever.
We have goaltenders on from time to time. They talk about, you know, the relationship you have with the other goaltender in net and how that's important. Is that one of the things in your career where that helped you a lot, whether it was being a backup or a starter? How does that affect goaltenders, you know what I mean? How does that help them in their careers and get ready for games and, you know, how they gel and the chemistry in the room?
That relationship's really important for the goalies and certainly for the team. The team, you know, Zig, as you know, the teammates know when there's tension back there, and that can be, that can unnerve teams and kind of get under everybody. So I was lucky. I always got along with guys. You know, I was lucky at the start of my career to have an older guy like Felix Potvin, another blast from Toronto past to be my backup, you know, that first year. And he was so wonderful to me, really did a great job mentoring and helped me out and kept me calm and walked me through certain situations that I had never gone through before. And then on the back end of my career, when I was a backup, I was with veteran guys again, Roberto Luongo, Kari Lehtinen. And I was able to, you know, we were on the same level, family wise, home wise, you know, how we were professionals at that point and how we traveled. And so it was awesome having those guys at the end of my career to be friends with and try and help out. And hey, I saw this or hey, I saw that. But they were just so good that it was just me going out on the ice and carrying their clubs around for them at the end. So I was really lucky to have the partners I did. I didn't have too many seasons where there was tension.
Andrew Raycroft is our guest, and Razor, like your good pal here, Ziggy, you've crossed to the dark side, and you're doing some analysis work for Nesson down there in Boston, which, of course, requires you to provide your opinion on what it is you're seeing when the Boston Bruins play. So when you look back on your time, it doesn't just have to be in Toronto, but in general, in the National Hockey League, there's a trade-off, I would imagine. You make good money, you live a unique and interesting, and I'm sure a lot of times fun life, but you're also in the public eye, and you're open to criticism. And we, I think behind the microphone sometimes, forget that the people we're talking about are in fact human beings who also have feelings. How do you feel about how you were portrayed / treated at times through your career? I mean, you're past it now. You're into a different life as you've come out of being a professional athlete, now an analyst. But when you look back, how do you feel about that period of time?
Yeah, sure. You start off by looking at what I could have done better, and I know, again, being 15 years older and more mature, I know I was, and I'm going to go right to Toronto because that's really what we're talking about. And being in the Toronto media, I look back and I wish I had not have been as sensitive as I was. It did hurt my feelings at times, a lot of times. I wanted to impress everybody. I wanted to make everybody happy. And I didn't know how to do that. And I didn't realize at the time that was impossible. That was virtually impossible to do in a market that size, to have everybody think you're a good goaltender. And I tried to appease the guy who didn't like me, and I got upset about that, and I focused on that sometimes too much, rather than everyone else who did think I was okay. So I look back, and I wish I hadn't have been as sensitive. At times I didn't say the right thing or I didn't do the right thing, but overall I tried really hard and I was there every game after every game. And I tried to answer questions every single day. So, So overall, though, that's, you know, the media is the media, and at times guys were portrayed, and I would get frustrated. I couldn't understand how someone was so loved by what they were saying when it wasn't necessarily what they were thinking. And but I look back on that, and I could have done better. I think it was just as much on me as anything else, and that's something, again, that I wouldn't have known to do 15 years ago.
Earlier in the show, Scotty and I were talking about if the NHL or pro sports do return, and are people going to go back into the arenas, the stadiums, and Brian Burke was on saying that his kids aren't going to be allowed to go to a concert or a game until there's a vaccine. You have kids yourself. Is that something you've thought about, or would you go back or with your family to a sporting event? And at what capacity? Like, how would you handle that situation once we're back?
Yeah, we've thought about it a little bit, I guess. And I feel like we're all in a position at a point now where these what ifs are like coming at us fast and furious. And until I actually have that ticket in my hand and I'm walking into the venue, how I actually feel about it. I think at this point now, I just want stuff to come back so bad. I'm a little bit more willing to say, yeah, let's go and I'll go and watch. If there was a Bruins game, I'll go work the game. But again, I think I'm still not at a point where maybe it's complete reality yet, where I'd really, you know, have to think about it. But at this point, I think we all know we have to take care of ourselves, and we have to put masks on, we have to put gloves on, and if we're not feeling well, we're staying home. So I have faith in all of us to find a way once this opens back up to be respectful and responsible of everyone else. And I'm in the ballpark of going to the ballpark right now at this point. I would go and watch a game and put my mask on and try and enjoy myself. That being said, until I'm standing at the turnstile, maybe it might be a little different if it's real life.